head. Down in the thunder, this mountain is cold, and you came to this town, you came in alone. I will be king, you spoke. And you took all you wanted, the queens and the jokes. And you burned all my belongings, save Jesse's note. Can't go to the bar if you're already drunk, and guilt doesn't work if they already know what you did, knowing what you were gonna do. You can't sing all the songs written for your mom, and why can't she sing her own goddamn songs? Lord knows she's got the stuff. And you took all you wanted, the queens and the jokes. And you burned all my belongings, not Jesse's note. I'm so scared of the madness in the middle of the room. Well, blame yourself for your problems. Blues are blues, even queer ones. And the sad ones, the scared ones, the mad ones, and even the queer ones. Come from your chambers, give me sincere one photo of this, and I'll leave beauty to the beautiful. And you followed your man into the bathroom. He said, don't come in, but you did, and you do. Now Missy's asking me about the pools. And you took all you wanted, the queens and the jokes. And you burned all my belongings, but not this leather coat. And you found your disease, tried and true. Well, if you meant what you said, then maybe, baby, spread the news. The sad ones, the scared ones, the mad ones, and even the queer ones. The sad ones, the scared ones, the mad ones, and even the queer ones. The sad ones, the scared ones, the mad ones, and even the queer ones.
It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. Those dulcet tones are Sean Barna joining me live in the studio. That's my new favorite.
I've gotten that, I think.
Is it? Oh, good.
Dulcet, doesn't that mean calming or something?
Yeah, it's like, it's soothing, it's rich, it's deeply feeling.
Maybe just because I'm with my guitar, when I'm with my rock and roll band, it's less of those things.
Well, sure, but you know, if I've learned anything, it's that we contain multitudes, right? We can be many things all at once.
That's true, sometimes at once.
Right? At once, yeah. Exactly. Sean, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you for popping over from next door to spend a little time with us.
Yeah, it's nice to be back here. I did one of these 10 years ago.
Amazing.
Almost exactly. So.
Very cool. I want to start I want to start by talking a little bit about your musical beginnings. Where did it start for you? When did music start to feel like a language that you wanted to explore?
I have been a drummer for 30 years. My dad had a drum set, and it was in the attic when I was about 8 or 9, and I took it down, and I learned to play it, and I did not stop playing it at all, ever, for, like, every day, for until I was about 22, and then I kind of pulled back and then eventually started writing songs around 25 years old when I was living here, kind of. But I just remember sitting in the back of this, like, whatever car we had and hearing, like, Janis Joplin sing "A Piece of My Heart," and hearing that chorus, it would give me chills, or the song "Changes" by David Bowie would give me chills. A couple songs like that. I remember Piano Man did that to me, too. Now it's a little bit more boring for me, that song, but the others, I stand by.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Do you remember what that feeling, like, that you said it gave you chills? What else was that feeling for you? Was there like, oh, I want to do that? I want to be that?
Absolute, especially with the, well, it's a couple different things. So with Janis, it's just, she's my favorite singer. Just absolute ripping honesty, even in a pop song. Like, there's not 1 ounce of pretend in her voice. Her voice is like an orchestra. With David Bowie, it's same thing. All these, you know, he's all these children that you spit on. You know, he's talking about trying to change their world. There's emotional lyrics, but also just the, in that case, just the chord progression. Dun, 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 changes and face the strange changes, and that's just that beat. It's just a, it's meant to elicit that feeling. But yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah, I love hearing you talk about it. I'm curious for you, Sean, you're an openly gay man, you're a queer mm-hmm. artist. How do you feel like that influences your music, and in turn, how do you feel like your music influences your identity, or that aspect of your identity?
I'm the least vulnerable queer person on the planet, basically. I'm a white male, I can pass as straight anywhere I want, from a middle-class family, you know, I'm educated, whatever. Look at any part of what it could mean to be not vulnerable, and I have those things going for me. Unless it's like a bar fight, then I'll lose. But then I have this platform to write songs and have them heard. And so what am I angriest about? It's that we're using the most vulnerable group of people right now, which is trans folks, as campaign ads for president. You know, that will cost lives, for sure. Choosing the most vulnerable people among us and going after them is the opposite of what I would like to do, which is give voice to people and have them seen in my things. One of the most surprising things of my entire career, I was opening for Counting Crows with my rock band for 2 months before my song Danger Baby, which is about a trans person who does not make it. It's on my record, Sissy. But before that song, I would say, this is for trans kids having a hard time. Because no matter who you are, where you are, what your politics are, we don't like when kids are having a hard time. We're always going to help our neighbor. That's true universally, pretty much, in this country, at least. And I would say it's for trans kids having a hard time. And then when I'm walking around after, this is a Counting Crows concert. Everyone's 50 or above. I'm walking around after, and these 17-year-old kids are coming up to me saying, I didn't expect to hear anything about trans rights here. I was like, I didn't even say anything about, I was just saying it's for someone having a hard time. But they just couldn't believe that they were represented in that setting. And so it's influenced me to know that, like, if I'm feeling down about something, I can no longer deny, as it gets slightly more popular, that I've reached people. And I've had people reach out to me with some pretty intense stories on social media. And so it's no longer just me in my room. And this song that I put out today, Wallflower, I name all 5 victims of the Colorado Springs shooting. And I do it in a bluegrass setting to make it more digestible for maybe people that wouldn't normally listen to the glam rock outings that I normally do. But it's important. That being said, my next LP is going to be entirely a breakup record about one person. So it's gay in the sense that it's about a guy, but it's, I'm not talking about any rights of anybody. I need a minute in that one. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if that answered your question all the way, but.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing. Wallflower is the first single off of your new EP, Internal Trembling. I want to talk a little bit about what Wallflower was in response to.
So there was a shooting where 5 people died in Colorado Springs because someone went in with a gun and attacked them. And they lost their lives. Queer spaces are traditionally safe spaces for queer people. You're welcome there. You're going to bring your own demons in, but you're safe there from everything else. And my last record, An Evening at Macri Park, was about that. You bring your own demons in, but you're safe with us, at least. 1969 was a Stonewall riot. And it was a riot because the cops came in and they'd beat us up. It was illegal to hold hands with a man until the mid-70s. These are real things. The reason we didn't get beat up before that is because the mafia owned the gay bars in New York. So we just had enough from 1969. So we made them safe spaces. And then Julius Bar, a group, the Mattachine Society, went in. It was still legal to drink if you were a homosexual. They went in and said, we're homosexual and we're going to maintain order and we'd like a drink. And so we had the riot for Stonewall, and we also had the legal path from Julius Bar because they were able to sue once they weren't served. And now gay bars are legal. So after that shooting in Colorado Springs, and this stuff happens fairly regularly, certainly violence against the queer community. But after that happened, I felt like the next day I had to write some posts or some, as a fairly public queer person, musician, say how I felt about it and everything. And then I realized the next day that I was exhausted and I needed a second to process it as well. And so the lyrics of it, you could be a wallflower, meaning on the sidelines, or you could be the center of the show. We all need a superpower. Sticks and stones won't break my bones, but feelings are just feelings. You don't have to make them known. Basically, it's me taking a break just like to process it and also honoring those people in the song. So.
Yeah. Appreciate you talking a little bit about that tension between what it is to be front-facing, to be public, and also to be a deep-feeling human being, and to recognize that it's also important to take time to tend to you in the process of experiencing the world. And it doesn't mean that you can't then use your art to say something about it at some time, but it doesn't need to be an immediate response.
It doesn't have to be visceral either. So with the song ended up being very thoughtful, because these are five people that died recently. They come in a long line of people. The person we largely credit in my community with starting the Stonewall Riot was Marsha P. Johnson, who was a trans woman. And, you know, the rumor has it she threw a shoe, which, you know, a lot went into start a riot. It's not just one person throwing a shoe, but she was found in the Hudson River and nobody knows why. My friend Andy, right after that Colorado Springs shooting, I believe it was the same time, somebody threw a brick at a gay bar window in New York, and he was bartending at the time. It's one of my best friends. This stuff happens all the time, all the time. And so I could be more thoughtful about it. Those five people are just the most recent five people, and there'll be more. And it's honoring the sacrifice they had to make to be open and free with who they are.
Thank you for sharing that, Sean. Can we take a listen to Wallflower?
Yeah, if I don't cry now.
Take your time.
Standing in the kitchen, do I need you listening? Do I really need something serious to say? Andy wasn't hit by the man with a brick, and I promise we will find him. Jesus, we are tired. These spaces are sacred, but Raymond didn't make it. Kelly didn't make the rules when she made the evening news. So today I need peace, not another memory. Show me how it feels in these cafes, bars, and streets. So won't you please hold hands with me? You can be a wallflower. You can be the sender on the show. We all need one superpower. Sticks and stones and break our bones. Just feelings, you don't have to make them known. These cops, I'm told, are brave while they're gathering for the raid, but I see cowards all around me. So who gives a damn about their names? Some Derek meet me at the party, beautiful party, toasting to our ghosts. I hope Miss Marshall wasn't cold in that river with Ashley and Daniel and the boys and girls. We know you can be a wallflower. You can be the sender on the show. Can I make you feel better? Would you like to read my own love letters? Sticks and stones would break our bones. You can be a
Wallflower from Sean words. Barna.
That's the first time I've ever played it, so.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I screwed around with it in my room, I guess, but.
Lucky us.
Well, the band on it is my friends Hawktail.
Yeah.
Plus Dominic Leslie, who was there. So Hawktail is made of two members of the Punch Brothers. One member is in Molly Tuttle's band. One of them played with Yola. They've all played with Steve Martin. The bass player's on tour with Dave Rawlings and Gillian Welch. So it's like a bluegrass supergroup.
Yeah,
I'm not playing on it at all. I'm just singing. I wrote all the songs. And now I'm trying to transfer this bluegrass supergroup into guitar. So I'm either doing like strumming or finger picking, trying to recreate that groove. But yeah, it's also a lot of lyrics. And also you want to make sure you get the names right in a song like that. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm curious. I want to back up for a second. And, you know, before you played the song, we were talking about the emotion behind it. And I'm curious for you as a songwriter, what's your process for taking something that is emotionally charged and feels very personal and turning it into a song?
So if I were to sit home and try to write a song, it'll be fine, and it'll be fine. It'll be sometimes great, occasionally. What I really do is I'll write like one verse, maybe fake lyrics, and maybe a chorus with some fake lyrics, and then I'll go into the studio like I did with this, and while the band's warming up, I'm sitting there pacing in the vocal booth, and I'm writing the lyrics. And so usually when I sing on my recent records, the lyrics that I'm singing I wrote within 5 or 10 minutes.
Wow.
So I tap into something a little bit higher. It's a higher, you know, like when you meet the moment type of thing, it puts a little pressure on you. Maybe it's some kind of procrastination habit of an ADHD person. But when it's right there, when it's right in front of me, it's like a higher thing I can tap into. I don't mean God higher. I just mean like higher state of awareness. And sometimes it gets really, I mean, I remember writing the end of It Ain't a Weekend for my record, Margaret Thatcher, The Lower East Side. And I remember writing the end of it, and I was just crying in the control booth because it was just coming out. And sometimes vocal takes can be ruined by that. And I finished a vocal take and had to like lay on the floor for 15 minutes crying before. So I'm a raw nerve anyway. And so tapping into it, you kind of have to do selectively.
A raw nerve. I like that.
Yeah. Ask my friends or my former friends. They'll tell you.
Well, as we've said, Wallflower is the first single off of your upcoming EP, Internal Trembling.
Out on Kill Rock Stars, Nashville. It's the label that Elliot Smith was on in Decemberists and all that.
And that matters to you, it sounds like.
It matters to me because they take art seriously every step of the way. There's not one deviation from that ever. There's not one moment of selling out with them that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Also, before I signed a paper, I told Slim Moon, who owns it, I want to make a screwed up bluegrass record next. And he's like, cool. I was like, okay, like, they're doing Riot Girl stuff and then, you know, Bikini Kill and then me doing a bluegrass record. And they're like, yeah, that sounds good.
Amazing. Let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned earlier that whole idea of bluegrass making a message possibly more palatable or more appealing to a broader demographic, a different demographic. Talk about that decision a little bit more.
So if you go to Nashville, which I spend a lot of time in living in and such, it's a little bit more conservative. And I don't mean like, I mean, it's election time. I don't mean the crazy back and forth that's happening right now. I just mean it's a more conservative culture, certainly Tennessee. Nashville, obviously, is more liberal, but it's more conservative music. And this music, you know, bluegrass is mountain music. Folk is a storytelling music. It's different. It's not showy in the same way, like with blue hair or something. It's musically really hard to do, but it sounds more familiar maybe if you grew up in Western Tennessee. It's going to sound maybe more familiar to you than me screaming at the top of my range about whatever. And so I told the band when we were rehearsing, we rehearsed one time the night before we recorded, and I said, you know, just so you know what I'm doing, like, one song's about Notre Dame burning down, which I make a metaphor out of. Paris is Burning is the most important queer documentary. It's about the drag scene in Harlem in the 80s and 90s. So I said, that's one about that. One about the Colorado Springs shooting at the gay bar. Then there's one about coming to Peonia to, like, grieve the loss of my brother 15 years ago when I lived here. And then there's one about a breakup with a man. And, you know, that. And then I was like, this is what I'm doing. Are you guys cool with it? Because they're all kind of, like, well-known in that scene. And they're like, yeah, that's great. It's a musical challenge for me because there's no drum. I'm a drummer, like I said, but there's no drums. But a bluegrass, there's nothing that's more rhythmic than a bluegrass band that really bounces together. And I had to learn how to sing different for it. All the, like, weird rhythms I'm doing singing right now, I could not do that against the actual band, because fighting a bluegrass band rhythmically makes you sound ridiculous. You have to find a way to bounce with them. So musically it was cool. And then, yeah, putting my intense lyrics about these things against that backdrop was interesting to me. And I'm wondering what will happen. And having my friend Mira sing on it, she's like an indie legend, indie royalty. And she makes it beautiful, the doubling. So it's a familiar sound, but the lyrics won't be familiar. Like, you could listen to it passively and not realize what I'm saying.
Right. That's interesting to me, too. I wonder, for those musicians, what, if you had to take a guess at it, what do you think about the content of those songs, them being like, yeah, sure, let's do it. What do you think it is about that, that they were so willing to just dive in?
Every advancement in our society happens first in music. Certainly, black folks and white folks were playing music together before black folks even get into certain venues. Frank Sinatra famously wouldn't play because they wouldn't let one of, you know, whatever his trumpet player was, black or whoever it was, they wouldn't let him in or something. You know, like, this has been happening. Ray Charles wouldn't go to certain places. But in music, we were already together because music's the common language, not anything else. And, you know, it's about acceptance in general. So, like, musicians are generally meeting so many people, so many different types of people, working with people, and you have to be vulnerable with people. Maybe sometimes you just met. Certainly in bluegrass, you'll just show up to a session and play sometimes with people you don't know, and you have to really connect with each other's hearts. But, you know, also I know these folks. Paul Coart, the bass player, was my roommate at Aspen Music Festival in 2006. I was a student there. He was my roommate when I turned 21, so he saw that disaster. But, yeah, so I already knew them, and they thought it was fun. And I think there's a lot of people, there's people writing bluegrass songs for sure, but there's a certain tradition, the things that, you know, there's a lot of nature and bluegrass music and stuff. And so I kind of brought that in, but also this, like, city edge thing that I already have in my music. And I find that interesting. And also Americana is just kind of, like, blowing up right now anyway, so maybe I'll finally catch one of these waves of popularity. Maybe KVNF will blow me up.
Well, we're trying. I'm curious. I want to talk about Peonia a little bit. It seems like Peonia is a place that you return to. Can you talk about your relationship to this place a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'll actually play a song about it next because you said that. Another song I've never played. 15 years ago, I applied to be an AmeriCorps volunteer after I fell down the stairs of a New York City restaurant on the shit because there was water on the stairs, so I slipped. It wasn't, like, my fault. I fell and the chef threw a dressing at me, like a ramekin, and I applied to AmeriCorps that night. I wanted to do some kind of environmental work in a community or whatever. So I moved here and worked for what used to be called the North Fork River Improvement Association, doing river restoration work on the North Fork. I drove from Manhattan, and I was driving into Hotchkiss at night, and I'm like, what is this place? And then I get to Peonia, and it was the night of the BMW rally. It was July of 2009. And I go over there, and I see that. I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this is. And I almost turned around and went back. Like, going from New York to a town of 1,400 people is quite a shock. But then I met some young folks here, and it forced me to relax. Because no matter what you're feeling, you have to reckon with Mount Lamborn over there and how beautiful it is. And people that have been here their whole lives still feel that, you know. So it's a healing place. And so I would come back here once a year, at least every year and a half or so, and see my friends that still lived here. I moved from LA to here. I quit my job and came here and played at the brewery because I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I just moved here again because I was about to move to New York. And I said, I can't do this again. I'm going to just go sit with myself and my feelings and my thoughts. And yeah, it's a quiet place, but it's also weird. It's the weirdest place I've ever been. I've lived like 15 places. You know what I'm talking about. It's about to be Halloween. It's a freak show.
Not only on Halloween.
Yeah, I know. It's Halloween every day here. And also, you can't get anything to eat on Monday because everything's closed.
Or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sean Barna, thank you so much. Will you take us out on one last song?
Sure. So this is a song called Jackrabbit Hill. It's off in my upcoming EP, Internal Trembling. When I lived here in 2009 or 10, and I don't know which it was the winter, we knew we were going to get snowed in that night. And so my friends Colin and Matthew, who were interns up at Jackrabbit Hill Winery, living in the intern farmhouse there, said, why don't we all come up here, we'll get snowed in together, we'll make chili, drink, have a good time. And I remember we went, I was finishing up my grad school essays with my friend Arla. She was one of the High Country News interns. Callie was as well. Ari was there. Kale was there. Luke was there. Andrew Cranston came up. All these folks, these people that were part of my life then and still are. And we got snowed in together. And I remember Callie and Colin, who are now married, dancing in the kitchen while they were making chili. And I remember we were drinking the gin that they distilled there in addition to wine. We were drinking that. And we woke up in the morning. It was just a blanket of white. And it's one of my favorite cherished memories. And I think all of us probably remember it. But I wrote this song about it, which I've never played either. But it's, I think, my favorite song I've ever written. But here we go, Jackrabbit Hill.
Search for the boy with the mark on his arm. Across the Black Ridge to the young man who ran his family's farm. Why don't you shake it off? You can shake it off. The flush of your face turns the snow into rain. So warm with the love and the reasons you came. Why don't you take it off in dirty pants and your brand new cotton socks? I go back there sometimes to where my wish begins. But someone in this room distilled the gin. I watched as she danced with him. She sang it free from the side of the hill. The maiden and her banjo, she sang me a song and she kept me still. Sharing stories and cherries that made it through the early morning frost. She knows the land come late July. Jackrabbit Hill, my oh my, did we do morning right? I was scared to love, I'm still scared to love. Wash me in this river until I'm clean enough. And I go back there sometimes to where my wish begins. For someone in this room to steal the gin. I watched as she danced with him. Search for the boy in the light of the moon. Your lips taste like peaches, then you tell me with a kiss that you love me too. Did he come to the trading post? Did he leave too soon? She sang a song, shook an empty room, and only one thing left to do is learn how to kiss him like I'm kissing you. Someone in this room picked the fruit, made Randy out of apple juice. And I go back there sometimes, sometimes. something draws me in. But someone in this room distilled the gin, and I watched as she danced with him.